your Bible and turn with me to the book of Mark, please. I appreciate Brother Lawrence reading that letter about Brother McElroy. Listen, when you understand, you know what he's really saying? You know what he's really saying? He's not, I know he needs support, but he's asking for people to pray for him. See, that's the umbilical cord. That's that cord that keeps these missionaries plugged in. I went to Mexico several years, and we'd go down and we'd work every day, and I'd preach every night. And one of the saddest things I ever seen in my life, and it broke my heart, was to watch these people that are so poverty stricken, it's unbelievable. Way out in the rural south part of, go to Monterey and then go 3 hours on down, and watch them take and sacrifice a chicken when they should be eating the thing. It's heartbreaking to see it. You just would not believe it. You would not believe it. And we went, I think, three or four years in a row, and that brother Isaiah Rodriguez, and I think about the people, I think about missionaries, and I believe this. You know what's wrong with America? We've got so much till we don't appreciate what we do have. That which you have an abundance of, you just take for granted that's going to always be around. It's like years gone by. You have to be from Kentucky. You don't appreciate the water till the well goes dry. Some of y'all never run to the spring in your life. Say amen. You've never done it. But I mean, I can remember. But I'm saying we've got so many. You can get in a car and you can be in a good Bible-believing church in 15, 20 minutes. Amen. Bibles, unless you've got Bibles everywhere, don't read them. Don't ever pick it up from one service to the next. I wonder what it's going to take to bring us to the point. How many of you remember 9/11? Right, raise your hand. Do y'all remember? I was mesmerized. I stayed glued. I listened to every detail of it. But I remember our president. I remember how that everything went down. President Cheney was somewhere in some bunker. Vice President Cheney and President Bush was somewhere in Air Force One. We was under siege. Y'all remember that? Nobody knew nothing. All the planes was grounded. Everything. We didn't know what in the world. But I remember the president coming on, and I remember he got teared up, and I remember everybody jumped on him about getting teared up. Personally, the Bible says the Lord is nigh them of a broken and a contrite heart. But now watch this. Our president said, and he was broken. You have to agree with that. He was broken and he was humble. And most of us was, because we was vulnerable. Amen. But watch this. The president issued Sunday after 9/11 a day of prayer. Churches was open 24/7. And there was traffic jams on church, people going to church on the Lord's Day after 9/11. Where are they at now? The crisis is over. Until another 9/11. I don't know what it's going to take to get us to realize that. I just came out of Roanoke, Virginia. And everybody's just like in Virginia Tech. Everybody's just like in a lull. Church people are just they're in a daze. You'll not hear this kind of news. See, the Virginia Tech is only 8 miles from where we was at. Did you know they had so many visitors, people going down there gawking, looking at things, looking at the blood that was on the blacktop? Ain't that pitiful? You ever notice everybody, it's like on a car wreck, everybody will stop, slow down. If you're on the northbound or southbound, they all slow down and see the wreck on the other side. Why does people do that? But I'm just saying, it's like Virginia Tech. They had to remove those big stones for so many, nothing but tourists down there visiting Virginia Tech. And they said that they've had fights break out because that people are insulting those students. And I thought about this. The people in the Roanoke Valley gave over $1,800,000 to those students. I think that's wonderful to help them. Would y'all perk up a little? I'm going to get them cables out again and jumpstart some of you. Amen. Brother Gene, he's sitting over in that middle where I can't get to him. You see that, didn't you? He's been around me before already. Hey, the book of Mark, please, in Mark chapter 10. We'll start reading in verse 46, please. Mark 10, verse 46. And I want you to turn to Luke, please, chapter 18. Keep your finger there. But let's read Mark, please, in Mark 10. Let's read together in verse 46. Ready? And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, it says, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more the great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying, be unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. He, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will thou that I should do unto thee? Now let's stop right there. What is the man's problem? Would everybody tell me? He's what? He's just blind. Now watch this, watch. The blind man said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now in all my years, Brother Lawrence knows, I love this Bible. I don't claim to know all of it, but I love it. And I dearly love, and you cannot exhaust the Word of God. You may think you've exhausted, you may think you've dug all the little nuggets out of there, but you haven't dug them all out yet. Let me show you this. Go back, look in your Bible. Everybody thinks, Brother Sisson, you're always alliterating. Look in your Bible and look in verse 47. And he says, he began to cry out. Notice the word see. Drop down, if you would, in verse 48. And many charged him. Look in verse 48. But he cried the more the great deal. Look in verse 49. He commanded him to be called. And verses 49, be of good comfort. Verse 50. And he casting away his garment, and he came to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, it's just there. But what I want to share with you tonight, this is Sunday night. In all my years that I've been saved, I go into churches and people ain't in that, they're in a rut, and a rut ain't nothing but a grave with both ends knocked out. Didn't say they wasn't saved. They just look like the world's fell on them. They look like they have no joy. And Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord. Listen, you need to understand this. When you read Nehemiah chapter 10, the joy of the Lord is what? Is your strength. So when you have no joy, you don't have no strength. Somebody asked me, they said, are you always up 24/7? Basically, usually I am. I'm a pretty happy person. Amen. Usually I am. But I'm telling you, when the death of my son, when Nathan got killed, it just pulled the rug out from under me. And what I mean by that is, there was a period there that I went through this disillusionment. And everybody says I'm a far better preacher. I don't understand that stuff. But my point is that believing that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose, if I really believe that, if I really truly believe it, then watch this. If there'd have been a 6-foot vault of titanium steel around my son, it would not have stopped him from leaving this world. You better say amen to me. If every hair on our head is numbered, say amen right there. And watch this, not a sparrow can fall to the ground that our Father doesn't take notice of it. And nothing can come through. In order for it to get to us, it's got to come through the Father's hand. That means everything, I don't care what it is in our life. I'm going to heaven, not hope so, not guess so, not maybe so. And what thrills me is this, is knowing that nothing can happen to me without the knowledge of God. Now that helps me. What do you mean, preacher? It's one thing to have a knowledge of it. It's another thing to start applying it to your life. Now say amen. I'm talking about when you go through these dark valleys. You know what I'm saying by that? And the week after my son got killed, I was scheduled to be at this church. And I don't think I've ever told you this, but I had to go right past where my boy was killed. And I'll be honest with you. I couldn't, right then, I could not do it. I just could not do it. My wife and I, they said, you ought to go cancel that meeting. And I really, truly believe it. Looking back over at it, if I had not went on and helped that meeting, if I had not done it, if I hadn't went on and just somehow or another God gave me the strength to go on, I don't know what would have happened in my life. They showed me a different route how to get past that place where my son was killed. Now you've got to understand this. That boy was only 21 years old. And you got to understand that he was going to help a woman that had been depressed. How about that? He was going on his way to help a woman that was depressed. He's going to come back and go to work. He was in the back seat of the automobile. There's a young girl, 16 years old, driving the automobile. Her boyfriend was sitting on the right. Him and Nathan had graduated from Celine Christian School. And this young girl, 16 years old, had already totaled two cars. And we don't know why to this day, why she was on the wrong side of the road and hit a truck head on. We don't understand that. Nobody does. We don't know why that is on the wrong side of the road. But if I believe this, if I believe with all of my heart that every hair on my head is numbered and that nothing can happen to me without His knowledge, then I had to agree that God knew that Nathan was going to leave that particular day. Yeah. Say amen. Now, am I naive to believe this? It's like pulling the rug out from under me. So they found me a different route to go around that, because I just didn't believe my wife at the time could have absolutely helped, could have went past where he got killed. That's her baby. Let me share this with you briefly. The truck, they'd been laying concrete, and it was a four-door dually truck. They'd been laying concrete. And there was four of them, two of them in the back, two of them in the front. The driver is named Jerry. They was coming this way on 461, coming towards Somerset. Amy, her seat, and TJ and Nathan was going this way. They were coming this way. And for whatever reason, she was on this side of the road. He rode the guardrail to keep from hitting them. The truck driver did. Upon impact, the steering wheel was embedded in Jerry's stomach, his abdomen. Now remember, there's bodies everywhere. The young boy that was in the back of the truck, the only one of them that was a saved man, the only one that was a saved man was in the back. Had a terrible gash on the back of his head and he was bleeding profusely. They had ambulances everywhere putting all these bodies and trying to get them to Cumberland Regional Hospital. They used the jaws of life and cut Jerry out of listen to this, 41 years old, took the jaws of life, took the steering column, got him out of the vehicle, and Jerry stood up and said, I'm all right, I'm all right. Stood there and he said, I'm all right. And all of a sudden, he collapsed. Blood started coming out of his mouth and out of his nose and his ears, I was told. They put him in they laid him on a stretcher. Don't you listen to this, Gene. The only man that was saved was in another ambulance. And they put this man, Jerry, in the ambulance with this saved boy. The one boy's got a big towel on the back of his head. And the paramedics was talking to Jerry, taking all these vital pressures, 8 miles from Somerset. And he's talking to him and he says, whatever you do, hang on. He said, we'll be there just a few minutes. The saved boy started talking to Jerry and said, Jerry, whatever you do, ask God to save you. They said that this boy, Jerry, raised up and said, God, please forgive me for being a sinner. I quote his words, God, please forgive me for being a sinner. And said he laid back down and said, the paramedic said, whatever you do, keep talking to him. He's responding to you talking to him. So the saved boy didn't know a whole lot of Bible. But he says, ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask him to come into your heart. They said he raised up again and said, Lord Jesus, please be merciful to me, a sinner. And laid back down on the stretcher. 8 miles from Cumberland Regional Hospital, pulled inside the hospital. They said he sort of murmured again, forgive me. And can you believe when they rolled him inside, they pronounced him DOA. Dead on arrival. What do you mean? But y'all wouldn't shout over nothing. Brother Sisson, we say all things work together for them that love the Lord. Really? I believe that with all my heart. Brother Sisson, do I believe in deathbed repentance? I believe that they're rare and far and in between, but I believe you can get saved on your deathbed. My point is watch this, going through all this stuff, and I could sit and tell you volumes that's happened in the last 4 years of how many people's lives has been transformed as a result of Nathan's death. What do you mean, preacher? How do you just keep on keeping on? It's found in Mark chapter 10. I want you to go back and look in your Bible. I want everybody to get your Bible, please, in Mark 10. What do you mean, brother Sisson? I mean this all my heart. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, we're saved. We're going to heaven. Our names is wrote down the Lamb's Book of Life. We've been forgiven. Hallelujah, thank God. But we're down here on this little mud ball planet. Yeah. Fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil every day of our life. Yeah, how do you keep on keeping on? Let me show you. Go back. Let's see if you would in your Bible in verse 46. This would be the last time that Jesus would ever visit Jericho. Look at Mark chapter 10, verse 4. And when they come out of Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Would you please do this for me tonight? I mean, how do you keep on, brother Sisson? Get where God is. Just get where God is. God ain't in a lot of this junk. Amen. What do you mean, preacher? Kathy, anybody that knows me, I'm as happy as I didn't have a lick of sense as brother when God is a moving. When God's a moving, son, I come alive. Amen. Amen. What do you mean that, preacher? Get where God is. God ain't, if you've got a good Bible believing church born, where the Word of God's preached, and where souls is being saved and lives is being changed, if you're not, get where God is. Amen. What do you mean, preacher? Look back in your Bible. He's sitting by the highway side, David, where a church is on fire and souls is being saved. And boy, I'm thrilled, boy, I didn't miss God. Hallelujah, thank God. I'm glad there's a day in my life I was like him. I cried out, God, be merciful to me. Amen. Amen. Boy, you talk about somebody, a happy camper. I'm saying just get where God is. I'm talking about, listen, God ain't, I know people say, well, God is in the fatherhood of God, brotherhood of man. If you believe that junk, you believe almost there's oceanfront property in Kentucky. Hey, man, brotherhood. Well, we're all going to the same place. No, we're not. No, we're not. No, we're not. I'm sorry if you believe that stuff. You say, well, they're saved people. Look here, look up at me. There's not as many saved as you think they are. Boy, that blows people's circuit boards. Do you really? There's nobody saved apart from the blood of Christ. Nobody. I don't care who they are. What do you mean? You're not saved by baptism. You're not saved by water. You're not saved by wafers. I'm sorry. That's offensive to a lot of people. But I'm talking about if you're not where God is, get where God is and stay there. Let me show you. Just go back before Muhammad's fail and look in your Bible. Watch it. Get where God is. That's verse 47. Boy, y'all, you ever been where there's a... Hey, Brother Jay. Do you remember the fireplaces? How many of y'all remember the old pot-bedded stoves and fireplaces? How many of you have ever done this, backed up to the fire? How many of you have ever done that? Have you, Gene? You was raised rough, wasn't you, buddy? Do you know what I mean by that? How many of y'all have ever back up to the fire? Then you have to turn around this way. Yeah. But I'm saying, watch this, if you've ever been where the fire is, you always want to be where the fire is at again. Hey, man, the problem is, folks, it's me. It's like I preached this morning. We take too much for granted. What do you mean, preacher? I'm talking about get where God is if you're going to keep on keeping on, amen. Watch it. Everybody says, brother, sister, now I love to eat. Lord, help us. I know it's a waste of good food, but I like it. Man, I love fried potato soup, beans, cornbread, garden ripe tomato. Thank you, died and went to heaven. I love it. Now watch this. You let somebody say, we got a golden corral in Somerset moved in, a golden corral. Whoop-dee-doo. Everybody said, have you eaten over there? I said, no. That just blows their circuit board. Brother, sister, you mean you haven't ate at Golden Corral? No. They moved in, and I'm talking about every restaurant shut down. I mean, every steak place, Bastion shut down. I mean, all of them shut down. Ponderosa shut down. They got a Golden Corral. Everywhere I go, I don't care whether it be Albany, I don't care Monticello, Russell Springs, wherever I'm at. Do you eat at Golden Corral? No, no, no. What I'm saying is they'll drive an hour to where they can get what's supposedly a good meal. Because the food's supposedly good there, so they'll drive out. They don't care. My point is watch this. They'll drive all that distance to get a meal. And yet you got a good Bible-believing church, and you can't buy them, bribe them, or pay them to come. Get where God is, amen. Look down, if you would, right before I have my spirit. Look in verse 48, please. Watch this. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more the great deal. So if you're going to keep on keeping on, get where God is. And number two, look at your Bible, ignore the crowd. Did you hear me, doctor? I like him. I don't know why, but I do. I like him. Maybe he's little and I always wanted somebody to look up to me. You know what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is ignore the crowds, amen. Man, I tell you that God's honest truth. Boy, when I got saved, look here, everybody was worried to death about me until I got saved. My whole family was worried to death about me until I got saved. And boy, when I did get saved, look here, they jumped on me like a duck on a June bug. All you do is go to church 24/7. All you do is go Sunday morning, Sunday night. All you do is drag them little kids all over the country. Hey, you're going to, hey, watch this. They would, now then they're concerned about religion, drive me crazy. Hey, I was 19 years old when I got saved. That's been 43 years ago. I've never got lost a thrill of being saved, amen. Just ignore the crowd. Just ignore them. That's what I do. Hi, brother, sister, you're too emotional. I said, well, you've got emotions. No, not like you have. I said, then quit kissing your wife. Hey, like that. Emotions? What do you mean, brother, sister? Well, I don't, I'm not like you. Yeah, right. I understand. You're not like me. Boy, watch this. I told my wife, I told her the other day. Now, my wife, every now and then, brother, she'll shout. Every now and then, she will. Yeah, you know, my wife's quiet, reserved. But every now and then, boy, she'll kick a shoe, boy, every now and then. What do you mean by that, brother, sister? Watch this. She used to, I'm telling you, before God, we used to, she'd say, that God ain't in all that stuff. That's hysteria. We'd go to the room and fight from like tooth and toenail. Just fighting. I'd say, Mary, you have no right saying that. Nathan, my little grandson, Dylan. Now, you lose your mind, Kathy, when you have grandchildren. Hello. There's a couple that I know. Y'all remember? I remember.
I have grandkids.
Watch this. Dylan plays T-ball, or whatever you call that, T-ball. So why don't you listen to this? I went up there. I come in, and Nathan, Dylan was going, I keep calling Dylan Nathan. And went up there to watch him play ball. And they had a hat on him. Couldn't even hardly wear the thing. It was way too big for him. And little old fella got up there, and he ain't big as a handful of minutes, but boy, he's wired just like his papa. In a few minutes, that boy throwed that ball, and Dylan hit that thing, and it didn't go 4 foot. I wish y'all could see my wife. Oh, go, Dylan. Go, Dylan. I looked over her, and I said, where did that come from? You get that in a minute. What I'm saying is, watch this. Here she is watching her grandson play T-ball or whatever it is. And I told her, I said, Mary, I said, it's one thing to get thrilled at a ball game, but it's another thing, hey, watch this. Get where God is, say amen to me, and just ignore the crowd. Quit worrying what the crowd says, amen. Hey, boy, if I listened to the crowds, I'd have quit a long time ago. Go back, look in your Bible. Y'all told me a minute ago what was wrong with him. He's what? He's blind. Look in your Bible. It says, do what? Verse 48, Bible plainly says, and many charged him that should hold his peace. What do you mean? Boy, if I'd listened to the crowds, I'd have quit. Boy, many charged him. Hey, I'm telling you, this world system today, if you're even remotely right with God, they don't mind you being religious as long as you're not born again. Now say amen. You surely don't go up out of that Grace Independent Church. You surely don't do that. They brainwash everybody. Ain't that pitiful? Boy, if I'd have listened to them cry. Can you believe this? Do y'all really believe I love my family? I love my family. I do. I ain't got but a brother living. That's all I've got. My brother, my mom's dead. Dad's dead. All my family's gone. Got my brother. So we had a funeral, and here's the way it was, Betty. Boy, you have a funeral, it's just like a homecoming. Everybody's a-hugging and loving on everybody. I ain't seen you in so long. What in the world you been doing? At a funeral home, it's like a homecoming. So I told him, I said, I'll tell you what we'll do. I said, we're going to get together, and we're going to have a family reunion. We ain't had one. Bunch of Wrens and Sissons and Waldens and outlaws. I mean, son, you haven't told me these are outlaws. So I sent out a letter, got all their addresses, sent out word, and paid for the stamps myself. We was going to meet down to William Whitley House down there outside of Crabwell Church. We was going to have a family reunion. I told him, I said, leave your beer and liquor at home. I told my nieces, put clothes on. They didn't want to see me as bad as they thought they did. And so I preached about 20 minutes. On how that one day the circle will be broken if you don't know the Lord Jesus. Can you believe they don't even send me anymore a family reunion announcement? That's the truth. They don't do it anymore. They don't even send me. I'm the one that paid for the stamps and paid for the envelope, and they don't even send me an announcement anymore. We're a cult. If you're going to keep on keeping on, ignore the crowds. Tone it down. Amen. Don't get excited over this thing. You're way too religious. You go to church on Sunday morning. There ain't no sense going back on Sunday night. Go to revival every time the service is up. What is wrong with y'all?
Yeah.
And all them preachers do, all they want your money. I'm trying to get you to see, if you're going to keep on keeping on, get where God is, say amen, and ignore the crowds. The crowds ain't always right. Now watch this. Go back. Look in verse 48. The Bible says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more the great deal. I thought about this. Don't take no for an answer. Look at y'all's faces. I got a boy, my oldest boy, Chris. He lived in Phoenix, Arizona. High paying boy. Sharon, do you remember my boy, Chris? Do you remember my boy, Chris? Son, can he play a piano? It is unbelievable how that boy is gifted to play a piano. In fact, he makes a good living just music. And he can play a piano, play a guitar, play anything. Just pick it up and play it. He's done all these, what they call backup music for these country music places name some of them, at fairgrounds. And I'm trying to think of what is in the Judge. He's always there. They want him to come and bring his group and do this backup, do that, what they call the warm-up group for the Judge. You know who I'm talking about, them two women. Did anybody hear it all? Eddie Rabbit told my son, he said, if you got any sense at all, you'll get out of this now. If you got any sense, you'll get out of this now. So my boy's out in Phoenix, Arizona. Loves his family. And it'll break my heart to tell him this. But he moved out there, and I don't care if it's him as much as I love him. The way of a transgressor is hard. The way of a transgressor is hard. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it is my son. I told him, I said, son, you can't get by leaving God out of your life. Y'all better say amen to me. Moved out to Phoenix, Arizona. I wouldn't live in Arizona if they gave me the whole state. I wouldn't. Sometimes he makes $1,000 in 2 hours playing backup music. I said, what do you got, son, when you obtain that? What do you got when you get up there? You're empty inside already. Been married 16 years. I got 2 grandkids. And I'm saying this because I want you to listen. I prayed my heart out for that boy. I don't want to get to where I can't pray for my son. I don't want to get to where that I can just say empty words. I want God to hear me, amen, for my boy, amen. Going through a terrible, bitter divorce, left Phoenix, Arizona, moved to Florida, making money, head over here. Hey, six figures. I said, won't you send me some of it? I did. I told him, I said, send me some of it, amen. If you ever seen people out of the will of God, they can't even make money, but it goes nowhere. They can't even make their ends meet. My point is, watch this. His mother and I have prayed for him and prayed for him and prayed for him and going to keep on praying for him. Just quit taking no for an answer. What do you mean, brother? Look at him. He cried the more the great deal. I want you to get this. If you're going to keep on keeping on, just ignore the crowd. Say amen right there. Whatever. Just ignore the crowd and keep on living for God and serving God. Amen. And then what? Just quit taking no for an answer. Lord, just keep praying. Keep trusting God. What do you mean, brother? He cried the more the great deal. God's in control. I'm talking about my whole life fell in on me when Nathan died. What are you trying to get me? See, brother? Sure, the devil will come to you and say, what's the sense of you praying for your children? Evidently, y'all ain't been to that stage of your life yet. There's been things I've been praying for over 20 years. I'm against a divorce with a passion. I'm against about everything. Anybody knows me, I'm just about against everything. But I'm telling you right now, that boy's going through the most bitterest divorce. His mother and I'm talking about that boy came to my home, and I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't have recognized my own son. That's how far he'd hit the bottom. That woman has poisoned his mind and the children against him. I said, son, darkness and light does not get along. When people have no value system, what do you mean? What are you trying to get me to see, brother? Somehow or another, if his mother and I can just stay in the harness, are y'all getting what I'm trying to get you to see? If his mother and I can just keep on praying for him, one day I'll see that boy. Thank God. He may come back broken. He may come. Oh, glory! I'll see my boy. Come back, amen. I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to quit. Hey, God don't ask. Hey, what do you mean, brother? I believe God answers every prayer. Yes, no, wait a while. Get where God is, ignore the crowd, and don't take no for an answer, just keep on praying. Look down in verse 49. He says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, says, be of good comfort, rise. He called it. Look in verse 50. He casting away his garment. What do you mean by that, brother sister? Be obedient to every command. Whatever God says, just do it. Y'all ain't getting this, are you? I'm saying it may sound... It may even seem silly to somebody. Or whatever. But I'm talking about, how about blind Bartimaeus? Look here. They all said, hush, be quiet, be quiet. Am I right or wrong? But he cried the more, and the Bible says Jesus stood still. Am I right or wrong? And then he calls blind Bartimaeus, and he casts away his garment. Y'all ain't getting this. Watch this. What's his problem? What is his problem? He's a blind man. And the Bible says, I read that and I had a spell. Watch it. He's blind. Have y'all ever seen a blind man groping outside of Steve Allen? That crazy thing. You let me tell you about Steve. He's down to camp. He's blind he's blind. Can you believe he taught my daughter how to drive a standard shift car? Can you believe it? I looked over there and he was driving passengers, riding shotgun, and Kim was driving a little S10 pickup truck, and he says, shift from low to second, talking to my daughter. I looked over there, here's a blind man telling my daughter how to drive a car. I about died. You get that in a minute. That's Steve. Look, watch it. Go back, look at your mouth. The man's what? Blind. And the Bible says, and Jesus called him, and it plainly says, why? And he cast away his garment, came to Jesus. Wait, be obedient to every command. I'm going to tell you, look up here. Everybody look up here at me. Everybody look right up here. I was down in, where was that? Outside of High Point, North Carolina. I got done preaching that night, and I've been with this man a lot of times over the years. And I noticed that night there's a different spirit in that church. A different spirit. I was preaching on forgiveness. There's a different spirit in that church that night. So I got to my room, changed my shirt, fixing ready to go to bed. Phone rang, 10:30, 11 o'clock. Preacher asked me, would I come to his house? I thought, oh, dear God, what's wrong? So I went to the house. I go in and everybody's crying. Preacher and his wife, both of them are crying. They told his daughter, said, just go to your room. She went to her room and then had me to sit down. I thought, what in the world is wrong? And she said, I've never told nobody what I'm fixing to tell you, but I need to tell somebody. Her daughter, I mean, she was the baby in the family. She was 11. She had an older sister, and her daddy raped her. Her daddy molested her. She had to be a witness against her daddy. Her family turned against her. Can you believe that? Would y'all perk up and say something to me? Her family turned against her. Her daddy went to prison. Don't you listen to this? She said, I've never told anybody. It was way up in the morning, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when this is all going on by now. Like you never got it out of her, what's going on. And I told her, I said, I cannot, there's no way that I could even comprehend what you went through with. There's no way that I could do that. You couldn't either. But I said, if there's some way in your heart, I said, if I have any sense at all, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the ones that spit on him, the one that nailed him there, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I said, I can't put myself in your shoes. And I said, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I said, I'll pray for you that God would show you the right thing to do. I said, I will. I said, I will. But I said, if there's somehow or another that you could forgive him. She just bought him. Next thing I know, she got her a plane ticket and flew to South Dakota. She said she got her cousin to come meet her at the airport. She had never laid eyes on her daddy. Never laid eyes on her daddy since he got out of the pen. She said she walked, said when they got to the house, he lived up on this little, said he was sitting out there on the front porch. Said she walked, and she's a beautiful woman. And you can be beautiful outwardly and be ugly inside. Amen. This woman is, she's just got a personality about her that's unbelievable. Loves God. Said she walked up to her daddy and said her daddy wouldn't even look up, said he had his head down. Said she said, Daddy. Now can you imagine calling him Daddy after that? Said, Daddy, I forgive you for what you've done to me. Said he wouldn't even look at her. Wouldn't even look at her. And said her mother had not even seen her for years, come to the front porch, saw who it was, and shut the door. Said she turned back around, started to go to the car, and said her daddy followed her down to the car, put his arms in. He said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I've done to you. I'm sorry I've ruined your life. And went on and on. But her mom and sisters never came out of the house. Stayed in the house, didn't say one word to her. She had flown all the way from North Carolina to South Dakota. Boy, that's a big person can do that. She told me, she said, I've got a letter that's a 10-page letter. She said it was just like, she says, like your face gets flush. And she says, it's just like my face just got just blood red. And she said, all of a sudden, it just left me. And she said, Brother Sisson, she said, I'll never forget you telling me if there's some way that you could forgive him. She said, it released me. Do you understand? It's hard for us to comprehend that. Say amen. We've not been through that. But my point is, look back in your Bible. Be obedient to every command. I may not understand it. He may not understand it. Nobody may understand it, but I'm talking about be obedient to every command if that's what the Lord tells you to do. Whatever that is, just do it. Y'all ever witnessed anybody and, boy, the devil tell you not to do it? Anybody outside of me? I mean, you just ever witnessed to somebody and you're tempted and the devil say, don't do that. You know, this is a bad time. You'll find some other bad time. I'm saying just be obedient to every command. Have I ever told you this? I'm fixing to. Anybody outside of me ever been depressed? Both hands, both feet. Can't raise it all. One night, I had an old 78 Oldsmobile diesel. Y'all remember that thing, blue and white diesel? You probably don't remember it. Remember that thing? 78 Oldsmobile diesel. I got it from a lawyer, and he had put two tanks in the back of it. Boy, I was having it rough back in the 80s. I was having it rough. I mean, financially, I was having it rough. Had that old diesel. Boy, I'd fill them tanks up. That's when you could buy it for like $29.99. I was a happy camper, boy. Man, I'd fill every one of them tanks up and drive and drive and drive and drive. I went and preached for a two-week meeting. God is my witness. I went and preached for 2 weeks, and watch this. That preacher, I got so annoyed at him. He put his rear on the communion table. He was really into it, wasn't he? Ain't that pitiful? No enthusiasm, no excitement, nothing. Hey, watch this. Dead as a hammer. He was dead. I preached my heart out. And I'm not telling you this to feel sorry for me. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. That's not what I'm trying to tell you. So I left there after 2 weeks. Are y'all listening to me? And I had $318 love offering. Okay, the reason why I'm telling you this is this, boy, I was having it rough. I come back across them mountains, and I'm sort of dumb sometimes. I looked down and I thought, if I cut across Withville, I'll come out over yonder at East Burnstead or somewhere around London or Corbin. That's sort of dumb. I went across through there, and I'm telling you, I was already in a bad mood. I mean, I didn't know where I was at now, and I couldn't find the roads, and it's nighttime, and I got to listen to Maze Jackson. Maze said, some of you depressed, are you listening? I said, Maze, you've got my attention. God is my witness. Old Maze Jackson said, I want you to find a pullover somewhere. Stop the car, open the doors, tell the devil to get out of your car. I said, Maze, as soon as I can find a place to pull it over, I will. Honestly, y'all think I'm dumb. I'm talking about, boy, I was on the bottom rung of the ladder. Y'all don't understand that. Financially, spiritually, every way. He said, you don't want to. And he's just like ringing my doorbell. He said, you don't want to go home the shape you're in like that. I said, Maze, you're talking to me. Amen. Boy, I tell you, I was outside of Boone, North Carolina. Son, I opened all four doors of the car. He said, tell the devil to get out of your car. Quit riding him around free. Does that sound like Maze?
Yeah.
Now, that may sound dumb to you people. Son, I opened all four doors. How would you like to have been standing there in the state trooper walk up and say, sir, can I help you? What are you doing? Y'all may not believe this. You may not believe it. I was on the bottom rung of the ladder. You listen to me? Are y'all listening to me? But boy, when I got back in that car, hallelujah, I had a spell all the way to Nancy, Kentucky. Amen. What are you trying to get me? See, brother, sister, be obedient to every command if we're going to have a moving of God. Don't quit, amen, and be obedient. Whatever God says, just do it. It'll always be right if God tells you to do it. Go back, look in your Bible. He first called Jesus, and then Jesus calls him. Hey, like that. Get where God is, verse 47. Ignore the crowds. Ignore the crowds. Number three, watch it. Don't take no for an answer. Don't give up. God is in control. Number four, be obedient to every command. Verse 50. And it says, he casting away his garment. I read that, and here's what I'm going to tell you. Watch this. Come clean with God. Hey, like that. If you're going to keep on keeping on. Oh, hey. Did you know there's a dark side to him? Sharon knows where it's at. Now, don't you laugh, Dr. Dan. God knows where your dark side too, boy. All of us have got a sort of a dark side about us. My grandpa used to say, do you know Noble Crowley? My grandpa would say, no, I met him, but I don't know him. Y'all will get that in a minute. In other words, I met him. I made his acquaintance, but I don't know him. I'd spend my whole lifetime around him 24/7. Are you listening to me? He'll see every crack in my armor, but I'll see every crack in his armor. Amen, sister. It says he casting away his garment, just come clean with God. You ever tell God you're angry? You ever tell God you're just upset? He already knows it. But it sure does help if you tell God sometimes, Lord, I'm just having a bad time. Look in your Bible. He cast away his garment. Just come clean with God. Quick, get rid of the whatever's back there that's keeping you having the thrill that you once had. The other night I was over in North Carolina, come out of the prayer meeting, and I said, if you ever just, this ever dawned on you? You know my mouth, it's always in gear. We just coming out of the prayer room, and I said, has ever dawned on you that we just met with a king? And all of a sudden that man just started crying and just fell on his knees. I thought, what did I do? It's like I shot him. He fell on his knees, and he said, to think that I took that for granted, that I got to meet with a king. You'll get that in a minute. What I'm trying to get you to see, listen to me, just come clean with God, that sometime we just lost the thrill. Watch this. Look in verse 51. Just believe God for the impossible. Can y'all see him? Verse 51, it says, the blind man said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Can you see him? He's sitting on the highway side. He gets up, am I right? He's blind. Jesus said, watch this. And he says, he calleth for thee. Look at him. He's blind. Watch this. Look at him. He's believing God for the impossible. He's a blind person. Y'all ever believe God for the impossible? I try my best to. There's been times that, boy, my faith has wavered. There's been times that I thought that boy will never come back home. There's been times in my life I thought, what's it going to take to bring him to that realization? Just believe God for the impossible. Do you ever do that? I mean, do you just believe God? This is a blind man. Look in your Bible. You may have a situation. It ain't never going to get any better. Hey, believe God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Watch this one. I got to show you this. You ready? Look at Luke, please, chapter 18. Everybody get there just a moment. It won't take me but a minute. Look at Luke, please. How do you keep on keeping on, brother? Says, get where God is. Ignore the crowd. Don't take no for an answer. Be obedient to every command. Come clean with God. Believe God for the impossible. Look at Luke, please, chapter 18. Same account. Look down in verse. Let me look down in verse 42. Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. Verse 42. Immediately he received his sight and followed him. Would somebody tell me what he was doing? What? Glorify. What do you mean by that, brother, sister? Hey, watch this. I'll guarantee you, brother, if you've been blind from birth and all of a sudden, boy, you receive your sight, you'd be like, whoa, glory. It says, look at Luke 18, he immediately received his sight, following him and glorifying God. Watch this. And all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise unto God. Amen. Do y'all believe he was thankful? Son, I believe that with all my heart. I got to tell you what I've done the other day. I want you to listen to this. You've been on my back porch. Miss Sharon, you've been on my back porch. You ever seen my rock garden? Is that not dumb? I'd do anything for my wife. I have trucked in tons of rock in the backyard. We got a rock garden back there, got a fountain, and I love it. My wife is going to feed them birds. If we don't have no food, she's going to feed them birds. But I love my backyard. I get me a cup of coffee, go back there. And I seen something the other day. I cried. I just cried like a baby. Man, I love doves. Do you know doves mate for life? Won't you listen to this, Gene? Man, we got a dove that's on a nest right there beside the swing. Can you believe that dove won't fly off? I love it. I looked out there and them two doves. A male is bigger. The female is smaller. And my wife said, they're not kissing. I said, they are too. She said, they're getting feet out of each other's mouth. I said, they're kissing each other. And watch this. Boy, I had me a spell. The male and female took their little necks and wrapped around each other. Oh, I looked at that side and I thought, blessed be the name of God. Boy, don't we take so much for granted. Them little old doves, I'm talking about, took their little necks and wrapped around each other like that. And for the longest of time, had their little necks curled around each other. I thought, boy, I believe with all my heart God takes notice of that. Amen. What I'm saying is watch this. We take so much for granted, and I believe with all my heart we ought to just be thankful people. I believe Bartimaeus is a thankful person. Just to be able, Miss Sharon, you've been on my porch.